This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we ask the question, are murder hornets coming to Port Townsend? Could they already be here? Hundreds of possible encounters with the world's largest and most aggressive hornet have been reported throughout the Puget Sound area. To get the facts, we join a press conference with the Washington State Department of Agriculture. And now, we go inside the Compass. Sven Erik Spischiger is a Washington State entomologist, and he doesn't like it when he hears the term murder hornets. As someone who studies insects for a living, he prefers either the scientific name, Vespa mandarinia, or its more common name, the Asian giant hornet. But when you hear his own description of what these stinging insects do, it's a little hard to argue with the murder hornet moniker. Every fall, Asian giant hornets go into what Spischiger himself calls their slaughter phase. They invade beehives and, these are Spischiger's own words, they attack it in force, remove every bee from the hive, decapitate them, kill all of the workers, and spend the next few days devouring all the young bees. Stings from murder hornets are also responsible for killing up to 50 humans a year in Japan. They are the largest hornet in the world, but none had ever been seen in the United States until October, when sightings started popping up just north of us in Whatcom County. How did they get here? How dangerous are they? What can or should we do about them? We asked those questions during a virtual press briefing with Sven Erik Spischiger at the Washington State Department of Agriculture. We also found a map on the department's website showing all reported sightings of possible Asian giant hornets. And there have been hundreds throughout the Puget Sound area, including Port Townsend, Squim, and Irondale. But to date, none of the sightings outside Whatcom County and British Columbia has been confirmed as a bona fide murder hornet. And Spischiger is hoping to completely eradicate the species from North America before it spreads further. The only Asian giant hornet nest yet found in North America was removed from a tree in the yard of a family in Blaine on October 24th. The Department of Agriculture vacuumed up all the hornets, and Spischiger is among those who have been studying that nest. So, we take you now to that press conference with entomologist Sven Erik Spischiger, moderated by Carla Salp, a specialist with the Department of Agriculture.
First of all, I'll give a brief recap of what's happened in the last month here. So on October 21st, Washington State Department of Agriculture trapped a few live Asian giant hornets at a private property east of Blaine. On the 22nd, we were able to successfully use a radio tag and track it back to discover the first nest in the United States. On the 24th, which was a Saturday, 2 days later, we were able to go in the early hours of the morning and perform a vacuum extraction of most of the nest and seal the rest of the nest shut. And then on October 28th, we were able to remove the tree and section it up to get a hold of the section that contained the nest. And we removed that to a cold room at a quarantine facility at Washington State University. And that on the morning of the 29th, we were able to open the nest up and start the process of counting and seeing what the nest contained. Over the next few days, Dr. Chris Looney has been doing most of the counting and investigation of the comb itself. That will continue actually with more precise measurements of the combs, but I wanted to give you some numbers. So, first of all, the nest itself was 8.3 feet high in the air, and this is not entirely abnormal, as a small percentage in the native range do nest in tree cavities. It's usually lower to the ground, though. The nest itself had six combs, the largest comb being 9 inches across, which was about how much room was actually available in the tree void itself. The stack of combs itself was 14 inches high. The combs contained a total of 776 cells, although that number is slightly questionable, as some of the cells on the outer edges may have been damaged during the removal. So it was hard to determine whether or not they were actually valid. But generally speaking, we had 776 cells. There were a number of cap cells, 108. Inside of these cap cells, there were basically queens getting ready to emerge. And there were 64 cells that had evidence of having insects just recently emerge. And so of that, we're certain of 64 of them, but as newly emerging hornets emerge from a cap cell, they will generally eat the cap and sometimes leave no evidence. So we can't be certain that that's all, but we're sure of 64 that had emerged. It is our speculation, and we suspect reality, that after we performed the vacuum extraction on the 24th, that what we found still alive in the nest were recently emerged queens that had emerged after the extraction on the 24th. And the total numbers we ended up getting from discovery to collecting a few outside the nest the day after the discovery, the extraction, and then the examination of the nest was 190 larvae. Most of those were dead when we opened the nest up. 112 worker hornets. And so these are females that are not capable of breeding. 9 male hornets or drones, and 76 total queens. And when you add the additional 108 that were in cap cells, that's a total of 495 insects that we were able to, or life stages that we were able to get from this nest. In the days after the nest removal, an additional 3 queens were found dead in a water bucket near where the tree had been removed, and an additional 2 males, one caught in a trap right where the nest was removed, and one male caught about one road over in one of our program traps. About 500 hornets out of this nest. And so that's pretty much what we're reporting today. To put that in perspective, there are nests in the native range that have upwards of 4,000 cells and are capable of producing, 700 to 800 queens. Our nest only had 776 cells and about 200 queens total.
So now we will be taking questions from members of the media. There are a couple options. You can use the raise your hand function in WebEx, and I will call on you and I will unmute your line and let you know that you can ask your question. You can also submit questions using the chat function, and I will pose those to Ben on your behalf.
Carla, I think Dave Cunningham is raising his hand for real, not electronically.
I don't see that, but let me try and get you... Dave. Dave, your line is unmuted if you have a question.
Could you describe in layman's terms why it's important to get rid of these hornets?
Certainly. So first of all, this is an introduced species that is not supposed to be here in the Pacific Northwest or in North America at all. They definitely compete with our native species. And as we were able to observe, they certainly can impact wasps and other stinging insects by basically eating wasp nests, and that's going to have an impact on the ecosystem. But most importantly for us here is they are known predators of managed honeybees, which of course we use for pollination of many of our most important crops, and it's just one more thing that the managed honeybees don't need to deal with.
Okay, and there was a question here about how we actually located the nest to begin with.
Sure. We had been working in the area based on a homeowner report, and as a result of a homeowner turning in a positive specimen, which was ID'd back in very early October, we ended up placing live traps around the area, several of them. And these are designed to capture hornets who are looking for a quick sugary meal quickly and keep them alive. We did this on the 21st, and on the 22nd, we were able to assemble a team and tie a radio tag that we borrowed from the USDA to the hornet, and then we released the hornet, turned on our tracking gear, and were able to follow the radio signal back to the nest, and that happened on the 24th. That's how we were able to locate the nest.
Okay, Dave Cunningham, if you have a question, go ahead.
Okay, we hear in the media these things called murder hornets. I'm wondering what kind of danger they may represent for human beings, if that nickname is overemphasizing the actual danger. And what should someone do if they come across something that they think might be an Asian hornet?
Sure. So Boy, do I love common names. They mess all kinds of things up. So Asian hornet is actually another species entirely. So what we're calling Asian giant hornet is in fact the species Vespa mandarinia. It has many common names throughout the world, one of my favorite being the yak killer, which to me rolls off the tongue great, but not so good if you own yak. However, the New York Times, in researching an article earlier in the year, was speaking to a Japanese researcher who said, we call them murder hornets. And they didn't really go into the reason why they call them murder hornets. But obviously, this is a name the general public seems to absolutely love. It seems like the media loves it too. I'm not a big fan of it. These are not going to hunt you down and murder you. If you walk into a nest, your life is probably in danger. I mean, that's the sure reality, but your life is in danger if you walk into the nest of other stinging insects as well, especially if you're allergic. Generally speaking, they can be a danger if you sustain multiple stings. You don't have to seek medical attention, but we are strongly recommending if you get multiple stings from an Asian giant hornet nest because you stumbled into one, that you seek medical attention. The venom is delivered at a much larger dose, and these hornets can sting you multiple times, unlike some of our things like managed honeybees here. And so for that reason, they can be extremely dangerous. There's necrosis associated with the sting, which means the flesh around the sting will start to die, and then this can lead to other problems like organ failure and other things like that. And in reality, they do actually kill a number of people every year in their native range. That number is in dispute. I've seen it as high as 70. Most people say it's about 20 people a year, which is comparable with some of the stinging insects you find here in the United States already.
And how did they get here?
We'll never know. Pure speculation, but since they overwinter in protected areas as a mated queen, the likelihood is that a mated queen came over with some type of international commerce. Could have been a vehicle, could have been wood chips, could have been hay bales, could have been anything really, but that is the most likely scenario. Secondary scenarios are somebody smuggled it in to raise them as food. These are sought after food items in their native range. We have had some interceptions of brood in both in Vancouver and in Portland in the past, but that is extremely unlikely. I think most people don't want to travel with such a thing, and it would be difficult to do so and then get it established. So to us, it's speculation, but it's likely that it came through international trade as a mated queen.
Great. There's a question here. How many total have been caught? Do you believe there are more nests?
So right now on our website, we're listing 20 total captures for the year. Our Canadian counterparts, and I see Paul is actually on the call, have also caught a few this year. We do believe there are additional nests. We had some captures down in the Birch Bay area earlier in the season, and then nothing after that. We've had some captures over in Blaine, so quite a bit to the west of where we were finding this nest. And then also down in Custer, which is nearby, but far enough away, we would suspect the source is another nest as well. So if you're adding that all together, about 520 total life stages captured this year or killed. And yes, we do believe there are other nests.
You're listening to a press briefing about the Asian giant hornet nest found in Whatcom County, featuring entomologist Sven-Erik Spischiger.
Michael, I'm unmuting your line so you can ask your question.
Hey, thanks for answering some questions on this, Sven. I appreciate it. One quick, I'm hoping you can just repeat. You said so about 500 hornets in various stages of life pulled out, correct? And then the question I really want to hear you speak to is just the number of queens that are coming out of this nest like this. Does that speak in any way to kind of the exponential nature of the threat of these things spreading?
Sure. Okay. So first of all, yes, 500 of various life stages. Of that, approximately 200 queens. We know from the literature that a small percentage of these will go on to form colonies next year, had they been given the chance to escape. It's clear since we captured specimens last year and captured a couple of queens early on that a few of them did manage to establish nests here in 2020. And so when you see, albeit a relatively small nest like this, able to pump out 200 queens, it does give one a little bit of pause because potentially each of those queens could be a new next year. Now, obviously, There are other factors that will keep that in check to some degree, but there's no doubt that had we not intervened and destroyed this nest, we would be starting with that number of 200 as a possibility. It really seems like we got there just in the nick of time, as our original vacuum extraction seemed to only give us workers, and we only got queens 4 days later after we cracked it open. And so if any queens had already left the nest, it was just a few and very early. We'll know a little more once we have some time to measure each cell and make a determination of what a queen cell looks like versus a worker cell. But as far as we can tell, we got there just in time.
Don Jenkins asks if the Asian giant hornets are still in the slaughter phase.
Theoretically, yes. We've not actually received any reports here in 2020. All of our slaughter type reports or events that we suspect were Asian giant hornet came from 2019. And so that is extremely encouraging to us. We continue to monitor our report lines. And of course, we have a special line for beekeepers to call if they're actively experiencing an Asian giant hornet attack of one of their hives. And so, you know, we don't expect that it's over for the year, but feel very fortunate that we haven't actually experienced one here in 2020 yet.
John Ryan, I'm going to unmute your line so you can ask your question.
So I'm confused with the numbers. You said just a few queens, you think just a few escaped, but then you had said there was a much larger number of cells that you had found that hornets had escaped from already. So can you just walk us through those numbers again? And
sure.
Secondly, I just wonder is the genie just kind of out of the bottle? Is it going to be possible to put it back in since there's other nests and there's an unknown number perhaps that have escaped? Can you actually, is it still possible to really stop this spread?
So I'll answer your second question first. Of course, it's still possible. We have, you know, over 1,000 volunteers out looking, and those who aren't actually actively trapping are calling things in whenever they find them. And now that we have a little better idea of how to track and locate a nest, you know, we can respond a little more efficiently moving forward. So yes, I'm still cautiously optimistic. If I had told you we had 17 different hits in 17 counties, I'd say the genie was out of the bottle. But right now it's just us and British Columbia, and it's a fairly contained event at the moment. So yes, absolutely, it's possible. So to clarify the question, so there were 108 cap cells. Those queens aren't going anywhere. There were 64 that looked like they had recently been uncapped. That number may be larger, we're not sure. But what we do know is that after we extracted all workers on the 24th, when we came back in and examined the nest on the 29th, everything that we found alive inside the nest, which would make sense, had likely emerged between the time we did our eradication and the time we did our examination. We ended up with 76 queens there. And so obviously 76 live queens is more than 64 uncapped cells. So some of them obviously did a very good job eating their cap. But it's possible that some had emerged before we did the vacuum extraction and eradication on the 24th, but it's not entirely likely. It looks like we got there in time. So some of them may have escaped. That is evidenced by the fact that three of them were sort of captured after the fact, hanging around in the area, found in the landowner's bucket of water there. It's an unknown number, but it's believed to be a very small number that may have emerged prior to us doing the eradication. Frankly, we're encouraged because of the number of queens we were able to count and kill and basically make an accounting for.
Great. And Key Relier from the Bellingham Herald asks, she's needing some clarification on the number of queens. There was 76 mentioned and 200 mentioned. Can you help clarify that number?
Sure. We said nearly 200. So 108 cap cells that have queens in them or appeared to be emerging as queens, plus 76 is almost 200, plus the additional three captured outside the tree afterward. We're not counting the cap cells as actual queens captured, but the cap cells are queens. And so what we are saying is the nest was capable of producing 200 queens, and that 76 had emerged inside the nest sometime after we did the extraction and when we opened it.
There's a question from Cairo Radio. Would the 76 queens have each gone off and started their own colony next year? And do you believe there are still two other nests in Whatcom County?
So, yes, in theory, that's the purpose of the queens, is if you read the literature from Japan and the other parts of the native range, once the queens emerge, they'll hang around the nest for about 10 days, apparently. And at this time, they'll be taking a meal from the workers. Well, we had already removed the workers, so they weren't getting meals. A portion of those actually will never end up surviving because they didn't get enough nutrition before leaving the nest. The rest of them that leave the nest, should they get proper nutrition, will be mated with males, should there be males waiting around outside the nest. And this is kind of how it works with them. And then they will go off, and I saw a question pop up in the chat, and this should answer that question. They will spend the winter as a mated or an unmated queen, usually in an earthen cell or some other protected area in what we call diapause, which means they're asleep for the winter. And basically, that's how they go through the winter. And in theory, they wake up in the spring and a small percentage will go on to found new colonies.
It's a question from Good Morning America. Did you retrieve all the queens and the rest of the hornets? Do you think you got them all?
There's no way for us to ever be certain whether or not we got them all. As I said, we basically, when we did our vacuum extraction on the 24th of October, it was all workers. However, after we removed the nest, there were three queens kind of hanging around the area, and a queen from another nest would not necessarily come back to that area. There would be no reason to do so. So obviously there were at least three that were out and about. We would have no way of knowing how many more. The reason we would have no way of knowing is the hornets are capable of reusing cells. And so it is in theory possible that more queens were produced earlier in the year, but it's not likely. And so basically from the counts we have, we're very close to having the majority of them, but I can't give you an absolute certainty that we got every single one from the nest.
So there are a couple of questions about the hibernation and how hard of a winter can Asian giant hornets withstand?
Well, they're found throughout Japan and parts of South Korea, and the winters there in some ways are more harsh than they are here. So I don't know the actual cold tolerances. I do know that there's a paper, Matsumura, 1984, that goes over what the cold tolerances are, but I did not have that committed to memory for this particular press conference. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Just because you read it in print somewhere doesn't really mean it's true. A perfect example of this is spotted lanternfly on the other side of the continent. Apparently, if you have 10 degree weather in January, that should be enough to kill every single spotted lanternfly. And the year it was found, we went through polar vortexes, which were much colder than that. And spotted lanternfly is doing fine. It's alive and well. The real issue here is it doesn't really matter how cold the winter gets. If your mated Asian giant hornet queen picks a nice protected area, she will be insulated from that cold and get through the winter. That's why it's an overwintering strategy. So certainly if you get sustained periods of cold, their chances of surviving will be smaller. But in general, they will pick a resting area that protects them from this danger and make it through the winter just fine.
Don Jenkins is wondering, what are the chances of finding another nest this year?
They're fair, as long as people keep reporting. We're starting to pull our traps down to be done by Thanksgiving. So the likelihood of us finding it through trapping is starting to wane a little bit as the nights get colder. The insects have a lot of trouble flying when it's cold out. But should there be an active beehive attack, our chances are very good for finding another one. And certainly as people start going out hunting, they may stumble into one and let us know about it. So the more people are outside and looking this time of year, the more chances we have. So it's possible. Try to remember, we're not even a year into since our first detection, which was actually live specimens that were coming to a resident's house December 8th of last year. And we had several nice cold snaps before that up in the Blaine area. So it's possible we could find another one this year.
Follow-up question about the radio transponders that were used. Was it the same type or a different type that was used on the hornet that was lost earlier in the year?
Different type. And so the first type of tracking tag we used was Bluetooth technology, and it has a much shorter range, which means we can't hear it from as far away. and the battery life is quite a bit shorter, lasting 12 hours, maybe just a little bit more. And so pretty much you have to be able to keep up with it and stay pretty close to it to be able to track it. We went to a more commercial product, which is also still new, but was being used successfully on the Spotted Lanternfly program on the eastern half of the country. They were finished with their tags for the year. The shelf life on those tags basically would render them useless by the time their next research season came around. And so they would have gone to waste. So they shipped them out here. We immediately put them into use like 2 days later after receiving them and got them to work very effectively. We have our own tracking gear here now in Washington, and we'll be returning those to APHIS, but ours are of a similar make and model, if you will. And we were very happy with those. In fact, we were able to recover the tag inside the nest when we examined the nest on the 29th, and the tag finally stopped blipping probably about 2 weeks after we activated it. So we got about 2 weeks out of that, which gives us a lot more time should they fly past us. And since they can fly, I believe, up to 50 miles an hour, they're awful fast. They're a lot faster than us older entomologists trying to chase them through the woods. So just a real advantage to switching to that.
Next question. Sven, you said this has been limited. Can you estimate the geographical area where the hornets have been found?
I don't need to estimate it. I know the geographical area where it's been found. If you're asking me to guess how far I think it's spread, I believe we are still within just Whatcom County and portions of British Columbia at this point. We have not seen it south of Bellingham, and the Bellingham find was a queen that was taken out in the spring. So right now, we're just looking at Whatcom County here in the United States and British Columbia just to the north of us. And as Paul just indicated, it's very close to where we're operating as well.
Great. And I believe that is the last of the questions. If you have a question, please go ahead and type it in. So another one just popped in. Is your goal to completely eradicate them?
Yes, if at all possible, that is definitely the way we want to go. The follow-up question that usually comes, is that worth the effort? And absolutely, my answer to that is just look at gypsy moth. It was not eradicated in the East. We spend a little bit of money every year to eradicate it here on the West Coast states. And our sprays are not costing millions of dollars of here. They're costing thousands of dollars. In the East, when gypsy moth gets out of control, it costs millions of dollars. And so at least for long term, the smart bet here is to eradicate it if we can. And we will obviously make every effort to do that. And with everybody's help, hopefully we'll be successful. I'm very encouraged by the support we've received from the public and our citizen scientists. And with that type of an effort, and with everybody looking and immediately calling them in, we actually do stand a strong chance. So I'm cautiously optimistic we will achieve that goal.
If anybody is watching this recorded and you have questions, if you're a member of the public, you can contact us at 1-800-443-6684 or email us at hornets@agr.wa.gov. Same phone number and email where you can report Asian giant hornets.
You've been listening to a press briefing about the murder hornet nest that was removed from the yard of a home in Blaine, Washington. For the news team here at KPTZ, this is David Cunningham. The Compass airs Saturdays at noon, with repeat airings Monday at noon and 5 p.m., exclusively here on KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend.